Welcome to your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics you'll face in your WJE GZAM, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode will give you everything you need: the key events, the theology, the exam technique, and a quick-fire quiz at the end. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Section 1. Core Concepts. What is the resurrection? Let's begin with the basics, because getting this right is absolutely fundamental. The resurrection refers to the event in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion. This is not the same as the ascension, and that is one of the most common mistakes candidates make in the exam. The resurrection is Jesus rising from the dead and appearing to his disciples here on earth. The ascension, which comes 40 days later, is when Jesus returns to heaven. Do not mix these up. They are two separate events. Now, the primary biblical sources you need to know are Luke chapter 24 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at each one. Luke chapter 24 gives us the narrative account. On the first day of the week, Sunday morning, a group of women, including Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices. When they arrive, they find the stone has been rolled away. They enter the tomb and find it empty. Two men in gleaming clothes, understood to be angels, appear and say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." The women rush back to tell the 11 disciples, but the disciples do not believe them at first. Later in Luke 24, we get the famous Road to Emmaus story. Two disciples are walking to a village called Emmaus when a stranger joins them. They don't recognize him. They talk about the events of the crucifixion, and the stranger explains the scriptures to them. It is only when they sit down to eat and he breaks bread that they recognize him. It is Jesus. And then he vanishes. This account is theologically rich because it connects the resurrection to the Eucharist, to Scripture, and to the idea that the risen Jesus can be known through worship and community. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, written by the Apostle Paul. This is arguably the most theologically important text on the resurrection in the entire New Testament, and you absolutely must know verse 14. Paul writes, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." This is a stunning statement. Paul is saying that the entire Christian faith stands or falls on the resurrection. It is not a nice add-on, it is the foundation. Without the resurrection, Christianity collapses. Paul also lists the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then to more than 500 people at the same time, most of whom, Paul notes, were still alive when he was writing, meaning they could be questioned as witnesses. He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and finally to Paul himself on the road to Damascus. Paul also addresses the nature of the resurrected body. He uses the analogy of a seed. When you plant a seed, what grows is very different from the seed itself. So the resurrection body is a transformed spiritual body, not simply a resuscitated corpse. This is a crucial theological distinction. The resurrection body is real and physical. Jesus can be touched, he eats fish, but it is also transformed. It passes through locked doors, it is not immediately recognizable, it is what Paul calls a spiritual body. Section 2. Theological Implications. Now let's think about why the resurrection matters theologically. There are four key areas you need to be able to discuss: atonement, salvation, the incarnation, and the parousia. First, atonement. The word atonement means at-one-ment, being made one with God. Through the crucifixion, Jesus takes on the sin of humanity. But the resurrection is the proof that this sacrifice was accepted, that sin and death have been defeated. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 puts it beautifully. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The resurrection is not separate from the atonement, it is its completion. Second, salvation. Because Jesus rose from the dead, Christians believe that death is not the end. The resurrection is the promise and the guarantee of eternal life for believers. John chapter 11, verse 25 records Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." This gives the resurrection enormous personal significance for Christians today. It shapes how they understand death, grief, and hope. Third, the incarnation. The incarnation is the doctrine that God became human in Jesus Christ. The resurrection vindicates this claim. If Jesus had simply died and stayed dead, One might argue he was just a good teacher or a prophet, but the resurrection declares that this man was indeed God in human form, the incarnate Word. The empty tomb is the exclamation mark on the incarnation. Fourth, the parousia, the second coming. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This means the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of a general resurrection at the end of time. Christians believe that just as Jesus rose, so too will all people be raised at the last judgment. The resurrection, therefore, points forward to the parousia and the final consummation of God's kingdom. Section 3, exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's get practical. Here are the most important exam tips for this topic. Tip 1, know your command words. In WJHE Religious Studies, the Part D question will use the word discuss. This is a 15-mark question that requires you to consider more than one point of view. You must present arguments for and against a statement, use sources of wisdom and authority, that means scripture and religious teaching, and reach a justified conclusion. If you only argue one side, you cannot access the top mark band. Tip 2. Always use scripture. A very common mistake is to write about the resurrection without quoting any scripture. In a 15-mark answer, you need at least 2 or 3 specific references. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14 is your most versatile quote. Use it for questions on afterlife, salvation, the nature of Jesus, or the importance of the resurrection. Learn it word for word. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Tip 3. Distinguish the physical event from its spiritual significance. Examiners give credit to candidates who can separate what happened, the empty tomb, the appearances, from what it means theologically. Don't just retell the story. Explain why it matters. Tip 4. Use precise theological vocabulary. Words like incarnation, atonement, parousia, resurrection, and salvation are the language of the exam. Using them correctly signals to the examiner that you understand the subject at a high level. Avoid vague phrases like Jesus came back to life. Instead say, Jesus rose bodily from the dead, defeating sin and death. Tip 5. Allocate your time carefully. The Part D question is worth 15 marks, and you should spend 20 to 25 minutes on it. That means a proper introduction, at least 3 developed paragraphs, a counterargument, and a conclusion. Don't rush it. Common mistake number 1. Confusing the resurrection with the ascension. The resurrection is rising from the dead. The ascension is returning to heaven 40 days later. They are different events. Common mistake number 2. Narrative retelling without theological analysis. If the question asks about the significance of the resurrection, don't just describe what happened. Explain what it means for Christian belief about salvation, atonement, and eternal life. Common mistake number 3. Forgetting the counterargument in discuss questions. Some candidates argue brilliantly for one side and then forget to engage with the other. Even if you disagree with a view, you must present it fairly and engage with it. Section 4, quick fire, recall quiz. Time for the quiz. I'll ask a question, give you 5 seconds to think, and then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14? The answer is, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Question 2. What is the difference between the resurrection and the ascension? The resurrection is Jesus rising from the dead on the 3rd day. The ascension is Jesus returning to heaven 40 days later. Question 3. Who were the first people to discover the empty tomb according to Luke 24? A group of women, including Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. Question 4. What theological term describes the defeat of sin and death through Jesus' death and resurrection? Atonement. Question 5. What does Paul mean when he calls Jesus the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep? He means that Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of a general resurrection, the promise that all believers will also rise at the end of time. Question 6. What is the parousia, the second coming of Christ at the end of time? Question 7. In the Road to Emmaus story, how did the disciples recognize Jesus? In the breaking of bread, when he shared a meal with them. Section 5, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The resurrection is the central event of the Christian faith. Without it, as Paul says, faith is useless. It is grounded in the biblical accounts of Luke 24 and 1 Corinthians 15. It has profound theological implications. It completes the atonement, it promises salvation, it vindicates the incarnation, and it points forward to the parousia. The resurrected body is real but transformed, spiritual yet physical. For your exam, remember, always use scripture, always explain theological significance rather than just retelling the story, always include a counterargument and discuss questions, and always use precise theological vocabulary. The key quote to memorize is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing, and go into that exam with confidence. Good luck.